We are on Kuf Dalet Amabet, just before the end of the Perek. Just to add, because Ani, right before class, made an interesting point historically that Rebbe had a very good relationship with the Romans. And it could be that part of the fear of Rebbe's death among the people was the fear of what would be with their relationship with the Romans once he died. And that also could have been why this was a whole big to-do, that they made a whole issue about it. So thank you, Ani, for bringing that up. As always, everybody brings their expertise to the table. It's good. Okay, so if you recall, we were in the middle of this story. Remember, the mother-in-law of Rav Chiya Aricha was married to his brother, and he died, the brother died, and then he was basically supporting her all these years with mezonot. I forgot to look up your question, Donna. Okay, I'll have to get back to that. And basically, after 25 years, he says, you already can't get mezonot, you already can't get your ketubah. And basically, she goes to court, and they say, you know, we can't say in this case, since he was so nice to you, and all the time he was walking the mezonot over to the house where you were living, because she was living in her family's house, it must be that the reason you didn't ask for the ketubah was not because you were mochel, but because you were embarrassed to ask for it. And therefore, we allow you to get your ketubah, psak din, period. What happens? Rabbi Chiya Aricha, remember, doesn't want to listen, and he ignores the psak din. So then, that's kind of where we ended. So we are now... Right, so they go before Rabbi Shila, and then he says, you get the money. Okay, so therefore, what does he do when she goes to the rabbi before he disagrees, before he says, I'm not going to do this? Or was it after? Okay, so, right, lo eshkach, right, so he ignores it. So now, after he ignores it, what happens? Rabbi Bar Shila does this. Katav la adrachta anichse. He writes her, a statement saying, you can demand the ketubah from this guy's property. In other words, you basically have rights to go to his property and just take it. So Atza the Kame de Rava. So now he goes before Rava. Okay, Rav Chiya Aricha. Amarle Chaze Mar Hechi Dinan. Tell me what happened. Amarle. I'm sorry. So he says, listen, you know, you should go see how he judged me. So Rava says, Amarle Shapir Dancha. He was right, Rabbi Bar Shila. I don't know what you're complaining about. He was totally right, and you have to give her the money. Amrale, ihachi leza lehajo leperi diminayomahu ad ha'idna. So she now goes before Rava. In other words, I guess it could be they both went before Rava together. But first the guy says, look what he judged me. And Rava says he was right. And now this guy, the woman says, well, if that's the case, then I want peirot from the day that this adrachta was written that gives me rights to your property. I want all the peirot from the field, from then. You owe me, you know, back pay, basically. Okay?
Because I would have then seized the field, and in the meantime, you've had possession.
Right. In other words, if my rights were to have the field from that moment that Rabbi Bar Shila judged me, then I should get peirot from that moment, and I want the peirot from then. Amar le, achvali adrachtech. So now, right, so here you see a case where a woman getting a little greedy, right? In other words, it wasn't enough that he said, you have rights to this. But she said, I mean, look, you could say greedy. On the other hand, it's true that she was legitimately right and she should have gotten it. So I don't mean to say that, but sometimes you have to be careful what you open your mouth to. So he says, well, if that's the case, let me see your adrachta. I want to just make sure it's all legit. Chazia de lo habakatube v'ishtamodina de nechasim elu de mitna inun. It didn't say in the Adrachta that it was Ishtamudina from the word Yidi'ah. It was known to the Dayanim that the property that we're saying she can seize belonged to the mate. Because what's the story? She has rights to stuff that belonged to his brother, not to his stuff, right? It's fields, right? Remember, where is she collecting this money from? From the estate of her husband. That this guy now has rights to, right? He kind of is taking care of the property. So it didn't say in the Adrachta that we know that these nechasim belong to the mate, the ones that we've given you a lien on that property. So Amar La, Adrachta loves Shapir Ketiva. This Adrachta is not written properly. So basically meaning, you can't get your fruits from the day it was written, and, you know, don't ask for that. Amar lei, tezel adrachta, fine, so forget the adrachta. Ish kol miyoma deshlima yoma achraz ta'ad hashta. From the day, and it's what happens, she comes to the court, she says, I want to get this property. Remember, the property is now in the Yorshim's territory. So what did we say about Yorshim? You have to make an hachrazah, right? So from the day I demanded it, and they announced it, and after the 30-day period elapsed, so I want payment at least from then, so maybe not from the day that you said the property belongs to me, but at least from the end of those that 30-day period of the hachrazah, till now. Amar lei, that only works if there's no mistake in the adrachta. You can't demand this if there's a mistake in the adrachta. And basically, there's a mistake in the adrachta. Okay, so he now claims that because there's a mistake in the adrachta, she can't backclaim any money from earlier. So now, the Hamar, what is she, Amrale, she says to him, but wait, she was obviously an intelligent woman, okay? You see here, if you think women weren't learned and didn't know things, she says to Rava, the Hamar Hudamar, Achrayuto Tsoferhu. Aren't you the one who says that if you don't put Achrayut into a star, what does that mean? I lend you money, and now your property is lien to me, right? Because we have a document with a star. Now, if I didn't write in that star the words, if the loved doesn't write, I assume responsibility. It's a star that, if I owe money to someone else and I say, I guaranteed a debt. So that means I'm the loved, let's say. I borrowed money, and I guarantee it on this property. And I say that if, in the event that this land is taken by someone else, then I will... No, it's really guaranteeing a sale. That's what it is. It's guaranteeing a sale. If I sell property, and then I say to the guy, when I sell this property, if you...
If someone else claims it, then
no, but it's not always guaranteed, though. So wait a minute. So in which case is he saying it's guaranteed? It's actually brought it up in a case of a loan. One second. Achrayuto Tsofer. One second. The Malveh can be Gove Achov from the Chasim Shuabadim of the Loveh, whether it's written or not. That's what it means. Okay, it is a loan. It's a loan document. We have a loan with a shtar. I, as the Malver, am guaranteed that I can demand it from your property, whether or not you wrote it or not in the shtar. Okay? Because that's the halacha, that a milve b'shtar, right? A hava b'shtar, you can be gova from nechasim b'shrabadim. So now, you said, achrayut is ta'ut sofer. So therefore, here too, as everyone knows that the woman can only claim land from the husband's property. So therefore, the fact that the adrachta didn't mention that we know that the property we're talking about is only the husband's property and not the guy, the brother, it's just a ta'ut sofer. It is as if it's in there. So amrle rava, beha leka lemer ta'ut sofer. In this case, you can't say it's a ta'ut sofer, okay? This is not the same as a loan. Why? De beha, afilu Rabba Bar Shila. Now the assumption in this story was that Rabba Bar Shila was siding on the woman's side, and Rava was kind of in between. Like he was sort of going lekrat the woman, and he said you have to give her the money. But then when she had all these other demands, he wasn't exactly going lekrata, right? He kind of said, well, there's a mistake here, there's a mistake there. So now he says that even Rabba Bar Shila would agree with me that Taimei Karahu. I'm sorry. In other words, he's saying, in this case, when Rabba Bar Shila wrote the Adrachta, he made a mistake. What was his mistake? Hu savor, he thought, hane bahane dide. Since in the end, who's really giving her the property? The brother, right? What's the difference? Mali mahane, mali mahane. What's the difference whether she takes it from his property or she takes it from the brother's property? In the end, this guy owns both properties, right? He's the ultimate owner of all of it. It's like saying when there's a Yerusha, right? Whether you take the money, whether at the end of the day, there's some debt owed, whether it comes from the Yerusha or it comes from the person who was Yoresh everything, it doesn't really matter which pocket it came out of. You understand? It's all the same pocket. Because in the end, he had all this land in his property. So it doesn't matter whether she took it from a property that belonged to him or a property that belonged to the maid. That's what Rabbi Bar Shila thought. But now, what do we say? And this is dafka to protect the woman. Velohi. It's not the case. Why? Zimnin da'azlo mishabcha lehu. If she has rights to all this land, whether it's his or whether it's the brother's, since this guy now is responsible for everything, what could happen? She might go and take a piece of land from the property that really belongs to the guy himself and not to the inheritors, you know, not to the brother, not from the mate's property, and she'll make it better. But her husband's property will get worse because everyone's ignoring it. Okay? But then at the end of the day, what can he say to her? Shakil didach v'havle didi. Okay, in other words, it could be, what's going to happen? The nechasim that belong to her husband, they'll kind of ignore it because they know that they're going to give her to the ketubah, but she might not, you know, she might think it's all the same, right? It's all in the same pocket anyway. And she'll kind of take care of one field, having her eye on it and saying, this is the one I'm going to demand. And then when it comes the day, she's going to take that property. And then what's going to happen? He's going to say, sorry, you know, I can give you the dead property and it's the worst one and tough luck on you. That was the property that was really lean to you. So basically, because of that, we make a very clear distinction between which property she could take and which property she can't, so she doesn't get into the situation where she's taking care of one field, not another, and then they try to strip her with the bad field. So therefore, ba'ate la fuke la'az al beidina. Now, it's not really, here it's interesting. It's not that we're worried about her place, but then it's going to basically be a bad name said about the court that they allowed this to happen. Okay? So therefore, people will say that they didn't really look out for her best interest. That's what we're really concerned about, that the Beijing's going to get a bad name, that they really didn't look out for her interest.
Although in the process of looking out for the woman's interest in general, she loses out in this case.
Right. So in this particular case, she's going to lose out, but for the general good. Okay? Because in the end, you have to have has to be specified in here. Okay. Hadron al Achanose. Now we're going to get into a new perek. Okay? This perek is going to be a little different from the perekim we've seen until now. This is going to be part of the structure of the Mishnah. We're going to talk about these Shnei Dayanei Gzerot Hayu B'Yerushalayim. Admon V'Chanan Ben Avishalom. Okay, there were two Dayanei Gzerot. We're going to get to in a minute. What does it mean, Dayanei Gzerot? Okay, that lived in Yerushalayim. There was Admon and there was Chanan Ben Avishalom. Chanan Omer Shnei Dvarim. Admon Omer Shiv'a. Okay, they each said, okay, Hanan said two things, Admon said seven things. We're going to go through the things they said in the Mishnayot of the Perek. That's what we're going to get into a few other things here. And, like, what do you mean they said two, they said seven? So if you look at Rashi says, Shelo hayu chachamim modim lo. In other words, they had radical opinions that the chachamim didn't necessarily agree with. Okay, so Hanan had two, and Admon had seven, and now we're going to start hearing them. Today we're just going to see the first of Hanan. Misha halach lemedinat hayam. Okay, he goes abroad. V'ishto tovat mizonot. Okay, and then his wife demands mizonot. Okay, this is after they heard that he dies in medinat hayam. Okay, and she wants mizonot. So Hanan omer tishava basof v'lo tishava batchila. Okay, she just has to swear at the end. What does it mean at the end? We saw some things about this before, right? Only when she goes to get the ketubah money does she need to swear, but not when she wants mizonot in the beginning. Nechleku alav, right? And what does she have to swear? That she never got the money, right? That she never kept any money for herself from his property, right? Because remember, he's now in Medinat Hayam also. He went before he died, so maybe she took some of the money then, so she has to swear. Nechleku alav b'nei kohanim gedolim. Okay, here, this goes back to what we learned about the Kohanim Gedolim at the end of Bayit Sheni. By the way, Hanan and Admon, I didn't stress this, but they're living, I didn't say this at all, they're living in Bayit Sheni. Okay, we're talking about, remember, the Tanaim lived from about 0 to 200. So 70 was the destruction. So these guys are early Tanaim. Generally in the Mishnayot, we're mostly talking about the later Tanaim that are mostly after the Korban or at the time of the Korban, you know, going after the Korban. In some of the Mishnayot, particularly like in Yoma, we saw a bunch of Mishnayot from people who were living in the time because it makes sense that they'd be talking about things that were happening when the Beit HaMikdash was still around, you know, and in other Mishnayot that are like that. But generally it's later Mishnayot. So here we're seeing that the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim, what does it mean, the sons of the Kohanim Gedolim? Remember we learned that every year it changed, and there were some families where they had many sons that were Kohanim Gedolim, and why was that? Do you remember why? Because they would buy the Kehunah Gedolah. At the end of Bayit Sheni, it was a big mess, and basically they were buying the Kehuna Gdola. So it makes sense. If you bought the Kehuna Gdola, so you'd give turns to each son every year to be a Kohen Gadol. So these are the sons of the Kohanim Gdolim, in other words, the families of the Kohanim Gdolim, because it went by families that kind of bought their way in. So the Bnei Kohanim Gdolim disagreed. Vamru tishava b'tchila ubasof. Okay? She also has to swear when it comes to the mezono. Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus kedivrehem. Okay, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus agreed with the Bnei Kohanim Gdolim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai yafe amar Hanan lo tishava ela basof. Okay? And then, in other words, we had sides on this machloket. Rabbi Dosa sided with them, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sided with Hanan. Okay. Now we're going to talk about what is this, who are these giant eggs they wrote? Were they the only ones? Were there other ones? We'll see.
Were they accepted?
Were they accepted lahalacha?
Yes.
So it doesn't say here. It says there was a machloket about who sided with them, right? In other words, who sided with who?
But in the beginning, meaning the first line, it says there are nine of them, and the chachamim
didn't agree with them. Right. So it seems like we didn't paskin like them, I assume. If it says chachamim didn't agree with them,
right,
then I'm assuming that we didn't go like them. I didn't look up, you know, halacha lemaaseh said what we say. Yeah, I don't know enough about whether we hold like them or not, lahalacha.
It's a strange mishnah too.
Right, there's also machloket here I see about whether she's being tovea mizona while he's still alive or when he's dead. If you notice, it didn't say he was dead there. So there's a machloket rishonim. Are we talking about when he's still alive, or are we talking about once he's dead? So there's a bit of a disagreement about that. I just want to see one more thing here. Yeah.
Maybe didn't we learn when they go on these big trips, maybe she gave him a conditional
right,
get.
She could have given, right. Oh, again, he could have, oh, yeah, I wasn't thinking about that, but it could be, right, she took, and you have to remember, what's the issue here? That she's living in his house and has access to all his stuff. So if she's demanding, I want mezonah from the estate, how are we to know that she didn't take already? How do we know that she hasn't taken money? That's like the tricky part here. Right, because she's living in his property, he's not around anymore, and it's unclear. Right, okay. So now we're going to talk about. We're going to get off the topic a little, and we're going to get into these giant eggs they wrote. What are they? So first, they say Uriminhi. We have a contradiction because it says in another source, Shlosha Dayanei Gzelot Hayu BiYerushalayim. Okay, there were three. Dayanei gzelot, not gzerot, okay? First of all, it's very common that Resh and Lamed get confused, right? You know this from people from the Far East, right? They'll mess up they'll switch the R and the L. Phonetically, it's letters that get switched a lot. So it's interesting that there's a machloket here between is it gzerot or is it gzelot, okay? Admon ben Gedai, v'chanan ha-mitzri, v'chanan ben Avishalom. Here's a chanan ha-mitzri that we didn't see. So what do you mean there were two? Here it says there were three. Kasha tlat atrein. Kasha gzerot agzelot. They said there's two problems with the source. Number one, three versus two. Number two, gzerot and agzelot. So, bishlama tlat atrein lo kasha. Three to two, that doesn't bother us. Dechashiv le ktane. Delo chashiv le lo ktane. The Tana of our Mishnah didn't consider him so important, so they didn't mention him. Ella, right? But the other guy did consider him important. It was a matter of whether they thought this guy was an important guy or not. Which kind of ignores the fact that the Mishnah was really bringing us these two dianegs they wrote that have particular issues, that they said particular things that people didn't agree with, at least according to Rasha's interpretation, unless you don't necessarily accept Rasha's interpretation, right? But it does seem like here there's a machloket, right? He says something and everyone else disagrees, or a lot of people disagree with him. So anyway, you could sort of answer that, but the Gemara doesn't. So now they say, Ela gzeirot agzeilot, kasha. What are we going to do with that? I'm Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Shayu gozrin gzeirot al gzeilot. They would make gzeirot on gzeilot. Okay? In other words, it was both gzeirot and gzeilot. Okay? Kidetanya. Kitma nitia. Okay? This is if a behema goes into someone else's property, okay, and takes ruins a tree or eats a tree. I don't know how did they translate it. It broke a tree. So how do you evaluate it? Rabbi Yossi Omer goes right. How do you evaluate the value of that tree? So Rabbi Yossi Omer goes, Re gzeirot shebi Yerushalayim omrim, nitiya bat shnata shtei kesef, bat shtei shanim arba kesef. Okay, who was the one who determined what the value was? It was the gozrei gzeirot. Okay, so now you see, here's a case where it was someone stole, sort of stole, right? He kind of ruined property of someone else. It's like stealing. And these guys were the ones who determined what the value was. Okay, I wanted to bring up here, the Koran has a nice note where they kind of summarize the different opinions of the Rishonim about what this was. So Rashi says that it was dafka, like they would put a knas on, they would determine the knas for thieves, for the ganavim or the gazlani. Other people says it's not referring to fines, it's referring to, like, they would establish, what sounds like the Gemara really, the Ritva says this, they would establish fixed values for certain types of damages. Right? Because we all know it's very hard to determine damages, exactly how much damage was caused. So like here they say, okay, a tree. If it's 1 year old, it's this. If it's 2 years old, it's already worth more. So that was one. Another said that maybe you would say that there was a problem with theft in their day, and therefore they made a knas for thieves larger than the general knas that thieves have in the Torah. In the Yerushalmi, they explained that they were appointed to be in charge of, you know, gzelot, just to be in charge of judging any, and it wasn't like they were determining fines in general, but that any case of gzelot went to these guys. That's what they were in charge of. And then they say, this is, I don't know, you know, this is Rabbeinu Yonatan says, is since there were very few cases of theft in those days, after the opposite of what I was suggesting, since there were very few cases, you didn't need so many, and that's why there were just a handful of them. Okay? So anyone who had a theft case, and it's also hard to imagine, anyone who had a theft case had to go to these guys, like, you know, they were like mumchim in theft. It's a bit of a harder interpretation, because also it would, theft, we see, first of all, goes on all the time. Hard to imagine that in a different generation it wasn't so commonplace. And to then make people be matriach at atzmam, you know, to go, if someone got robbed and then they had to go find just these judges, it seems kind of difficult. Yeah, someone wants to
say, unless they're so specialized that they dealt with theft when it was damage to property as opposed to actually taking it.
Uh-huh. And the theft was property damage, and that didn't happen so often, right? Hard to imagine also.
Yeah.
But right, and then that would be proven from the story they brought here, right? Because it's interesting, the story they bring is not exactly theft. Yeah, it's a broader kind of theft where someone goes into your property and ruins something, but they didn't exactly steal it. Okay, so now they basically say, gzeirot and gzeilot work together, no problem, and 3 versus 2 doesn't bother us because one guy thought he was important and one guy didn't think the Hanana Mitzri was important. Uriminhi, another source that contradicts. Shlosha dayanei gzeirot hayu b'Yerushalayim, Admon v'Hanan v'Nachum. Okay, here's a third guy, Nachum, that we didn't hear about before. Amra Papa, this doesn't bother us. Why? Man Tana Nachum, who's the one who thought that Nachum was one of the Dayanei Gzeirot, who doesn't appear in our Mishnah? Rabbi Natan, in other words, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Natan, and this source is according to Rabbi Natan. How do we know? D'tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, Af Nachum Hamadim, he goes, Rei Gzeirot Shebir Shalayim Haya, Veloho Dulo Chachamim. Okay, so Rabbi Natan says, even Nachum Hamadi was one of these guys, and the Chachamim didn't agree with him. Okay? Now here, again, you see this thing, these guys, even though they seem to be these important people who are making these knesot and whatever they're doing, which we're not sure exactly what it is they're doing, it seems that in general, the rabbis disagreed with them. Okay? Or else, there were all these Dayanei Gzeirot, and of them, there were 3 in particular, or, you know, according to some people, only 2, that the Chachamim didn't agree with. Right? It's very unclear here what's going on. Are they the only ones? Or are they the ones who just had issues that they kind of had these unique psakim, the piskei halacha, the people didn't listen to? So now they say, v'tu leka, were there really not any other gozrei gzeirot? V'ha amar Rabbi Pinchas, amar Rabbi Yoshaya, get ready for this one. Shlosh me'o v'tish'a v'arba'a b'tei dinin hayu b'Yerushalayim. Okay, there were 394. Okay, where exactly they get this such a specified number, right? Not 400, not 390, right? 394 Batei Din Yerushalayim. Now you think, okay, fine. So maybe they counted exactly the Batei Din. But Kinegdam Batei Knesiot, Kinegdam Batei Midrashot, Kinegdam Batei Sofrim. So what do you see here? They had 394 courts. Now, there's a machloket about whether we're talking about courts of 23 or courts of 3. Okay, we get to Sanhedrin. We'll start to learn about all the different. There were courts of 3 judges. There were courts of 23 judges. And then, obviously, the Sanhedrin till add 71. So, then there were also 394 batei knesiot, 394 batei midrashot, and 394 batei sofrim. Okay? You have to imagine that this is a sifruti, literary type thing that they're trying to get at. Why the number 394, I really don't know. Okay, so Dayanim Tuvahave. So they're saying, yeah, so you're right. There were many more Dayanim. V'chi ka'amrinan agozrei gzerot ka'amrinan. Don't look at that as a contradiction because there's Dayanim and there's gozrei gzerot. They're not the same thing. Those are two different categories. Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi. Gozrei gzerot shebi Yerushalayim hayu notzlin scharan tish'im v'teisha manet mitrumat alishka. Lo ratzu mosifim lahim. Okay, this is a very strange source. They would take these guys, these gozrei gzerot, we get 99 maneh, okay, which according to the Shanstein, they said it right, maneh, it's 9,900 zuzim, which is a lot, right? Okay? Now, it's unclear whether here it seems to be talking about the gozrei gzerot, but they did this calculation that was referring to the Dayanim, and it was split up this large amount between all the Dayanim. That was like a yearly salary. Okay, you can do the, you know, try to figure out the math there. The Shanstein has some sort of mathematical equation about how many people there were and how much it came out to 143 zoos for a year, which is actually a strange sum. It's not a lot. If we talk about that the 200 zoos is a sum that feeds a woman for a year, 143 zoos is not a lot of money. Here you see the source for, you know, why public people like, you know, Dayanim probably, I mean, I don't know what they make in this country, but I can't imagine they make a lot of money. So, anyway, it depends, I guess, what level you're at. But, okay. So
they're raking in
the money. No, but it's not each court. No. No, it was to all the Dayanim altogether.
Instead of dividing it, it's dividing by fewer people.
But not, no, well, if, I think it was divided between all the different courts. That's what I think they, that's how they do the calculation. It was, Hitchalek ben kol dayanei gzeirot, and there were three batei dinim that each one had 23, and each one got, yeah, they do this calculation that there were three courts of the dayanei gzeirot, there were 23 dayanim in each court, and then they split it up according to that, and that's how they got to 143. Okay, so anyway, now this last line is very strange. By the way, if anyone's hot, you can turn on the air. Right near the door. It's a little hot in here. If you want, yeah. Probably be more comfortable. And then just shut the windows. Okay. It's near the front door. So, okay. So now what do they say? The last line is very strange. Lo ratzu mosifin lahem. If they didn't want, meaning what? If they didn't want to take that money, they wanted more money. So mosifin lahem. They add more money to their salaries. So lo ratzu... Are we talking about Rishayim, that they complained about their salary? First of all, it's an interesting concept to think that if someone who's a Dayan complains that he didn't get enough salary, that basically he's a Rasha. That's number one. Okay, we're going to get into all sorts of salary issues in the daf now. So anyway, are you saying they're Rishayim, that they complained about their salary? Ela lo sapku apa pisha lo ratzu mosifin lahem. It's definitely the opposite. It means if it wasn't enough for them, even if they didn't want, they said, no, it's okay. We don't need to take more money. Because remember, their money's coming from the Lishka, right? Trumata Lishka. We learned all in Shkalim about that, right? All the money, the people, it was the community money. They're living off the community funds. So if it's not enough, even if they don't want, it's not lo ratzu, it's even, right? And it means, even if they don't want, mosifim alehem, we give them more money. Karna, here's a guy, Karna, have a shakil istira mizakai, vi istira mechayav. He would get paid one isar from
each party,
the zakai and the chayav. Here it's interesting, they call him the zakai and the chayav, right? In other words, before he was mizakai and mechayav, he would take one from each party, vidain lehudina, and he would judge the judgment then. Behechayav et hachi, how could he do that? Behakti v'shochad lo tikach. Okay, you can't take bribes. Like, you can't get payments from the people who are coming to your court. This is very interesting, right? Like, you think about it, if you go to an arbitrator, what happens? Each side pays the arbitrator, right? So they're saying this is called shochad. B'chi teman, if you want to say that shochad lo tikach, we're going to have a whole discussion now about shochad. Hane mile hecha delo shakel mitravayhu. Shochad lo tikach is only, you might say, when he doesn't take from both sides, right? What's a bribe? When you take money from one side and not the other. But if he takes from both sides, well, that should be fair. Dilma atu latzluye dina. You can't say that because still it's going to affect his judgment, okay? If he, what's this word, atzluye dina? Right, he still might... It's still someone's giving him money. That affects the way he views them. Even if the other guy's also giving him money and the same amount of money, it's still changing your perspective. Yeah. So how could Karna have taken this money? So what do they say? Karna kevan deshaka mitravayu lo ate latzluye dina. Okay? So because he was taking from both, they say it was okay. But then they say, no. V'chi lo ate latzluye dina mishare. Just because it's not going to make him clear-headed, just because it's not going to affect his clear-headedness, it's still not mutar. V'ha tanya, doesn't it say, v'shocha lo tikach, ma tamud lomar, well, why does it say that pasuk? Im l'lamed shalo l'zakot et hachayav lo l'chayev et hazakai, harei kvar ne'emar lo tate mishpat. We already have a pasuk lo tateh mishpat. Don't tilt your judgment, right, to one side. So if shochad means don't take bribes from one side and not the other side, it's the same thing as lo tateh mishpat. So ela afilu lezakot et hazakai v'lechayev et hachayav. Amra Torah v'shochad lo tikach. Even if you're going to do it and it's not going to affect your judgment, even if it's not going to affect your judgment, or you think it's not going to affect your judgment, right, you still can't take it. That's the, even if it's lo tateh mishpat, even if it's not going to affect your thinking, you're still not allowed to take money. So basically, they're saying, how could each side have given him money? So what do they answer? Hanimile hecha deshaka b'torat shochad. Karne b'torat igra havashakel. Now they say a very interesting line, which is, there's a difference between a bribe and a salary. Now we all know that it's a little hard where you cross the line between bribe and salary, right? But they're saying he took it as a salary. Because it was a salary, it was allowed. In other words, he had like an arbitrator. You go to an arbitrator, you know there's a cost involved. The arbitrator has to get paid for his work. So you're paying him for his work. Sounds fine when it comes to arbitration or, you know, in our day and age. But they're saying, now they're going to say, wait, ubetorat igra mishagre, can you really take salary? The Hatznan, doesn't it say, Hanotel Sachar Ladun Dinav Betelin? But it says you're not allowed to take salary. By the way, there's a very similar sugya when it comes to people teaching. Teachers, can teachers take salaries? This whole sugya about, is it allowed for a Melamed Tinoko, you know, someone who's teaching to take salary? So here they have the same concept that a Dayan can't make money off of doing this, basically. So he's not allowed to. And if he does, his dinim are betelim. So obviously Karna, who was doing judgments and was taking salary, how could he have done it? He was, you know, his dinim should have been betelim. So what do they say? Hanimile agar dina. Karna agar betela. What do they say? There's one thing to be paid for being a judge. There's another thing to be paid for schar batala. What's schar batala? It's the time that I am working here, I can't be doing my other job. So pay me what I'm losing out on of not being in the workforce right now. Okay, schar batala. So now they say, va'agar batala mishari, is that allowed to take schar batala? Vaha tanya, doesn't it say? Okay, they keep bringing all these sources which seem, we're going to say, you really can't get any money. Micho'ar hadayan shenotel sachar ladun, ele shedino din. Okay, it's horrible, right? It's a disgrace, a dayan that takes salary to judge, but his judge's judgment. So now they're going to say, what kind of salary could we be talking about? Hey chidami, ilema agar dina, if he's talking about salary of a dayan, dino din, v'hatanya, tell sachar ladun, dina betelim. It says, diz dina betelim, it can't possibly be, he's taking sachar to be a dayan. Ela agar betela, it must be, we're talking about sachar batala. And katane mechoar hadayan. So here you see, it's disgusting, right? It's horrible. It's, you know, mechoar is ugly, but it doesn't really mean ugly. It means it's despicable. So now what do you see? So again, we have this hierarchy, right? You can't take anything that's shochad. When it comes to salary, if you take salary for being a dayan, your judgments don't even count. If you take salary schar batala, your judgments count, but it's a bad thing. So how could Karna have done it? So now they say, hanemile batela delo muchacha. Karna batela de muchahava. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, if I was, you know, I can't, I'm here judging, and if I were outside, look at all the money I could be making, and I want to make a salary. You know, I want you to pay me for all those stuff I could be doing. But it's not like you were really going to be doing anything, right? It's not like you had something else better to be doing. That's That's where it's mechoara dayan. But karna, it was clear that he was doing this other work and that he had to stop his work to come there. And when it's very clear that the time he's spending as a judge is taken away from the time of whatever else he was doing, then you get schar batav. Okay? So karna batela de mucha have, it was proven. Shakyal, and therefore he could take it. Dehave tehi ba'amra dechamra v'yahave lezuzah. Because he, what was he? He was a wine smeller. He would smell the wine and say if it was spoiled or not. Okay, good job, right? Someone who likes wine, he would tell people, this one's going to spoil soon, go sell it first. And that's a job that there's always, yeah, there was always what to do. Ki hada Rav Huna, here's another situation. Ki hava ati dina lekame, amar lehu, havu li gavra didali li b'charikai, v'idun lechudina. Go bring me someone to do my job for me, you know, and then I'll judge. As it was clear, so then he would be able to get schar batala because he basically had to hire someone in his place to do his job when he wasn't there. Amar Rav Yabau, bo rei, now we're going to get back into the shochad. Kama smuyot enehem shemekablei shochad. How blinded are people from when they take shochad? Adam chash be'enav, note mamon lerofei, safek mitrape, safek eno mitrape. A guy has a problem with his eyes. He goes straight to a doctor and he pays him money, right? Whether he knows the doctor's not necessarily going to be able to cure him, but he's willing to put up the money to basically improve his vision, right? V'hein notlim shave pruta u'misamnim enehem. And they pay to blind their eyes, okay? Right, anyone who takes shochad is basically, I'm sorry, they're getting paid to blind themselves, opposed to someone going to pay to get their eyes fixed, and this guy's taking money to basically blind himself. Shene'emar ki ha-shochad yaver pikhin. Okay? Tana Rabbanan. Like he's going out and actively blinding himself. What a ridiculous thing. Tana Rabbanan. Ki ha-shochad yaver inei chachamim. Right? It says, ha-shochad yaver inei chachamim. So they say, kal v'chomer la-tipshim. All the more so for tipshim. V'yisalef divrei tzadikim. Kal v'chomer la-rishaim. So now it's a very strange statement. Why? Midi tipshim u-rishaim b'nei dina ninu. The pasuk is referring to judges. So why would the pasuk talk about, in other words, obviously the pasuk doesn't say this, the bright is saying that this pasuk means also it'll mess up tipshim and also it'll mess up rishayim. So they're saying, why would the pasuk be mentioning, you know, again, the pasuk doesn't say it, the drasha is bringing up rishayim and tipshim in the context of dayanim. Like, why would there be a rashari tipesh as a dayan? Elahachi kamar, ki ha-shochad ya'aber inei chachamim, va'afilu chacham gadol v'lokeach shochad, Eino niftar min ha'olam b'lo smiyut ha'lev. Yisalef debrei tzadikim, apilu tzadik amor v'lokeach shochad, eino niftar min ha'olam b'lo teiruf hadat. In other words, you could be a chacham, you could be a tzadik, but if you take a shochad, you're going to turn into a tipesh and a rasha. And it basically messes you up. Ki atar avdimi amar, darash Rav Nachum bar Kohen, mai dichtiv melech b'mishpat ya'amid aret, v'ish trumot yaharsenu. Okay, a melech, with mishpat, he will be ma'amid the land. He'll establish the land. V'ish trumot, and a person of money will ruin it. So what does this mean? Im dome to dayan lemelech she'eino tzarich leklum ya'amid eretz. If what makes a king unique, he doesn't need anything. He's got everything he needs. So if a dayan is like a king that he doesn't need anything, then he's going to be ma'amid eretz. V'im dome lekohen. But if he's like a Kohen, who's basically, what's an ish trumot? They translate as an ish that gets trumot, right? And who's that? A Kohen. It's interesting that who said this? Bar Kohen, his name was, right? So if he's like a Kohen who basically has to take money from people, then he's going to ruin, you know, it's not going to be a good match. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila. Hi, Diana Deshal Sheilta Pasul Dandina. If Dayan borrows something from the guy who's coming to judgment, then he can't do... Oh, no, I'm sorry. If a Dayan is someone who borrows something in general, that is, he borrows stuff from people, he's pasul lemei dandina. Okay? He can't judge. And why is that? Because there's this assumption that he needs other people. It's the same thing as this other thing about the trumot. He's dependent on people. And because he's dependent on people, that will affect his thinking and judgment. V'lo amaran ela delele loshule. That's only if he has nothing to lend back to people. Aval itle loshule late lampa. Then we're not worried because it's give and take. It's not like, you know, he owes a tova to someone because they lent him something. It's if he lends back to other people, then we're not worried about it. It's more like we're worried about someone who's in a state where their financial situation is not so great, and then they're suspect. So now they say, Ini, Vaha Rava, okay, Rava we all know is a dayan in judge cases, Shail Shi'ilta Midibe Bar Marion, Afagav Delo Shaila Mine, okay, he borrowed things from the house of Bar Marion, but he didn't lend back. So what do they say? Hatam le'ichshuvinu hu debai. You have to look at what was his motivation. His motivation in lending was so that people would, he did it as like a good deed. What was the good deed? That if people saw him borrowing stuff from this Bar Marion, then they would also. In other words, he wanted them to have a good name in the community, so therefore he did it, but not because he was desperate for money and therefore would be suspect of shocht. Amar Rava, my time ad shochta, kevan de kabale shochta mine ikar vale date legabe. What's the problem with shochad? Since you take something from someone, it brings you closer to that person. You now have a closer relationship. Now, so close that what do they say? Vahave kigufe. He's like you, it's your own person. Ve'ein adam ro'eh choval atzmo. And no one, we've seen this before, ein adam rashiat atzmo, this is a similar thing. No one would ever try to make themselves look bad, right? So therefore, he would never judge himself badly. And therefore, since this person is perceived as yourself, you won't judge him badly. My shochad, what's the, now they do like a...
Etymology.
It's not etymology, right. It could be etymology, but it's more, what do they call it? It's like darshaning the word. I forget what they call it. There's a word. Forgot. My shochad shehu chad. Okay, that he is, how do they explain this chad? That he is, oh, right. They're a chad. Right. Chad milashon echad. That they are like one. Okay, shehu chad. They're like one. Amar Papa, lo lidun inish dina leman de merachem le. You can't judge someone who you have rachmanut for. The lo leman de sane le, and not someone that you hate. De rachem le lo chazi le chova. If you have rachmanut on him, you're not going to judge him negatively. De sane le lo chazi le schuta. You're going to have trouble finding schut for him. Amar Abai, haitzurva merabanan de merachemim le b'nei mata, la mishum de male tfe. Okay, he says here the people in the city. One second, right? This Talmid Chacham that the people love him so much, it's not because he's better than them. It's because he doesn't. He's saying there's this guy who doesn't give tochacha to the people, and because of that, they like him, and therefore he would be puzzle to judge because he has this relationship with them. I'm a rabbi. Meresh hava amina hani b'nei mechoza kulu rachmele kevan dehave dayana. Oh, sorry. Period. In the beginning, I saw the b'nei mechoza; they all liked me. Okay. So now, what does he say? Kevan dehave dayana amina minayu sanele minayu rachmele. But now that I became a dayan, I see that some people hate me and some people love me. Kevan dechaza leman demechayv lehaidna kazache lemachar. But now that they see that I might judge favorably one guy today, but tomorrow I'll judge against him. Amina, im merachim kulu rachmele. Im esanu kule esanu li. In other words, then I realize that it's not dependent on the fact that I'm a judge, whether people like me or not, because I see the ones who like me, the ones who hate me, and it's not necessarily dependent on my judgment. Tana Rabbanan, b'shocha lo tikach. Eino tzarech lomar shocha mamon, el afilu shocha dvarim nami asur. Midelo ktiv betza lo tikach. Okay, now they're going to say it's not just shochad of mamon, it's also shochad of dvarim. How do we know this? Because it doesn't say betza lo tikach, which means money, but shochad comes to include other things. So now they want to know, hechidam is shochad dvarim. What does that mean? Now here they're going to give a slew of cases, almost, I think, even through the end of the daf, of basically people who got tovat hana'ah, you could call it. They got some benefit from someone, and as a result, refused to judge them. Okay, we're going to see all sorts of stories that all have the same idea. He had a Shmuel, have a Avar b'mivra. He was crossing the Nahar. Atahu gavra, yav le'yade. He gave him his hand to help him across. Amar le, maya bidatech. He said, what are you doing here? Amar le, dina itle. I need a judgment. Can you judge me? Amar le, psina lach ledina. I can't judge you. Okay? In other words, I'm not allowed to because you already helped me across with your hand. Amemar, have a yate v'kadayin dina. Amemar was judging. Parach gad fa'aresha, okay, a feather got onto his head, okay, seems like a very minor thing. Atahu gavra shakla. The guy took the feather off his head. Amarle, mayavidatech, what are you doing here? Amarle, dina ile, I came for you to judge me. Amarle, pasil nalach ledina, I can't judge you. Marukva havashade roka kameh, there was a bit of spit in front of him. Ata hau gavra kasye, he covered it up. Amarle, mayavidatech, what are you doing here? Amarle, dina ile. Amarle, pasil nalach ledina, you're pasul. I can't judge you, because you covered up this spit. Okay, so you see, even such a small thing, like taking a feather, covering the spit, okay? Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, have a ragil arise, to have a maite le kol yome shabta, kanta depere. The aris of Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, what's an aris? It's someone who works in his field and takes a percentage, a sharecropper. The sharecropper would every week bring him a basket of fruit. Now, where was he bringing him the fruit from? From his own field. He was bringing him his own stuff, okay? So again, it's not, he wasn't getting financial benefit, but he was, you know, it was still a nice thing to do. Yom achad, aitele behe b'shabta. Okay, he would always bring it erev Shabbat. One time he came on Thursday. Amarle, maishna ha'id. Now, what's different from today that you're coming on Thursday? Amarle, dina itle, v'amina agav orche aitele lamar. And he figured, if I'm already coming today, I'll already bring you your basket. Lo kabil mine, right? This is like the apple to the teacher, right? He says, I can't take it from you. Okay? Amarle psion alach ledina, and I also can't judge you. Not only will I not take it, but I also can't judge you. Otiv zuza derabanan v'kadayne le... Ote zuze derabanan. He brings a zug. Okay, zuza means zug. He brings a zug of rabbanim. The professional will jump and say, what do you mean two? It should be three. Why three? You know, it's unclear. Anyway, you know, there's different interpretations of how they do this. Either they were mumchim, in which case you really only need one, so why do you bring two? Or he means he brought two, but there was a third one already there. Anyway, he brings a different pair of rabbis to judge him. But okay, and they judged him. So while this was going on, Amar, he said to himself, like the fala asimon, you know what that means, right? Like it hit him. What hit him? Ibai taun hachib. He starts to think before, okay, it doesn't hit him yet, we'll see. Ibai tain hachi, ibai tain hachi. He starts to think, oh, if I were judging him, I would have made this claim for him and I would have made that claim for him. And that's, what do you see? How all of a sudden his mind was biased toward this guy. Even though he's not judging him, he starts to already think in his head, oh, if I were the judge, I would have said this to his benefit, I would have said that. Amar, tipach nafsham shom mekablei shochad. They should, the people who take shochad should basically be, you know, uprooted from the world. They should not be able to breathe. Uma ani shelo natalti. I didn't take anything from him. V'im natalti, and if you try to say, well, in the past I took things from him, sheli natalti, it was my own stuff. Kach mekablei shochad alacha kama v'kama. All the more so, someone actually gives him stuff of their, you know, that wasn't his. Okay, last story. Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha Aitele Ahu Gavra Reshita Gez. They gave him, right, you're supposed to give to the Kohen the first of the shearings of the sheep. Amar Le Mehechat, he says, where are you from? Amar Le Miduch Plam, from this place. You came all this way just to bring to me? You didn't see any other Kohen? Amar Le Dina Ile, I have a judgment. Vamina agav orchai aitele lamar. Okay, this is really like an apple for the teacher, right? You know, I figure once I'm coming to you, I'll bring you something. Amarle pasiyon alach ledina, this Nebuch guy, right? He came all this way to be judged by him, and he said, well, you messed it up. Lo kabil mine, okay, he didn't take it from him. Otiv le zuga derabanan. Here you see it's zuga, not zuza. You could think maybe there was a mistake that they said zuza before. Anyway, zuga derabanan. He brings a couple of rabbanim, but kadai mele, right? And they judged him. Bahadi dekaaza ba'ate amar. Ibai tanachi. The same thing. He starts to say, oh, if I would have judged him this way, I would judge him that way. Amar, and here it was a guy we had zero relationship with, right? A total stranger comes, brings him this nice thing. He doesn't even accept it, and he's already biased. So he says, "Tipach nafsham shom mekablei shochad umani shelo natalti v'im natalti sheli natalti, kach mekablei shochad alacha kama v'kama." And why does he say sheli natalti? Because it was the reshit hagez. It was stuff that was otim anyway. And as a coin, now it's true, it wasn't exactly his, but it was something that was rightfully his. He had rights to this. It wasn't like he was bringing him a gift. It was really, you know, yes, it's true, he could have given it to some other coin, but still, it was something that was coming his way in any case. He probably would have gotten from somebody, the reshit hagez. And therefore, you know, kach mekablei shochad alacha kama v'kama. So, nice stuff about how, you know, you have to be careful in judgment and be very careful how you think and what little things might affect your judgment.
If he's not going to judge him, why couldn't he take the
So, okay. So you have to wonder why he didn't, and I think it was just a way of staying far away from this, because he's a Dayan, making a point of not taking it. Like, Dayanim have to be held to a higher standard, so they shouldn't take gifts. It's like heads of state. You know, you can't take gifts. Like, there's a whole thing of, you know, you have to be really careful, right? If you go to current events and things, you know, that were coming out about Netanyahu and the money he spent on all sorts of things, you have to be really, really super careful. I mean, this goes on all the time nowadays with politicians, and they got, you know, someone sent them on a flight, and then they get in trouble, you know, and it's all because when you have a politician, people are always trying to sway them, and you have, you know, all those things. Everyone's got ulterior motives, and you have to be super careful, and that's why I think they didn't even take it. They said, I won't accept anything, even though I'm not judging you.
Because another time. It's,
right? I want to distance myself so much from this that I don't want there to be any suspicion.
We saw pieces earlier where somebody was shooting his own family members or people related to him, remember?
Even yes, exactly, with the and family members. And right, and he said, don't let me judge you, go to someone else to do it. Right.
There's an extreme case where you're after your family.
Right. Right.
Hey, I'm crossing a river, and there's a guy standing there, and he didn't extend his hand. I would have exactly the same amount of negative thought.
Right. That's right? Also true.
Like, you can't.
That
make
is
it.
True.
Like, you're going to be disqualified.
Right. But according to this, then you probably shouldn't either. You know, if you have some sort of negative thoughts about them, like, I don't know if sanelo means you hate someone or you just have bad thoughts about them. It can also.
You know, or if he